Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight is a Native American descendant from the Mohawk tribe, who started a truck company in 1984 with $10,000 from her credit card, a $5,000 loan from her parents, and three trucks. Today, it's the largest Native American-owned minority business enterprise in America. She believes that her drivers are her greatest salesmen and ambassadors of goodwill. Her name, Andra Rush, and we're honored to have her as our guest. And I'm Jack Crisula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760, WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Crisula on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Andra Rush, and under her leadership, Rush Trucking has become the largest Native American-owned minority business enterprise in America. Paul Cotton. Andra, welcome. An honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. I'm happy to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Sure. Let's see. I really had a nice childhood. I was fortunate that my father taught himself how to paint cars when he was 14, 15 years old, and he worked on commission. So we were able to grow up on a lake out in near Novi, Wolverine Lake, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and I have three great sisters. One is 4 years older than me, Dana, and then Linda and Lori, and my dad had always dreamed of being an NHL hockey player. And I think he was in the Red Wings farm system until he was blessed with getting married at 18. So I learned how to skate when I was 4, and I played a lot of sports. I didn't know that wasn't quite natural or normal for girls to play hockey and hardball and all sorts of contact sports. But sports taught me a lot. I was really, really shy when I was young, and I think getting the exposure in sports during school, and also having jobs when a paper route, and then moving into waitressing, it gave me that, I guess, courage to step out of my comfort zone at a young age.
What was the biggest things you learned from your mom, Andra, and the biggest things you learned from your dad?
From my mom, I learned that you can be very independent. You can be your own person, that you can, if you have faith in God, you can rely on yourself and achieve anything. And with my father, I learned that if you have a dream and you have a goal, you will figure out how to make it happen. And so he taught me to push myself farther than I normally would. So that's been
what
nice.
Was it like growing up as a Native American Mohawk girl?
Well, I think I, for me, it was, I've always had a fascination with our heritage. And when my grandmother came over to Detroit, my great grandfather worked on the Ambassador Bridge and the Beale Building. He was an iron worker. So when she left the reservation in Ashwegan, Ontario, she really left her heritage behind. She wasn't proud of it. And my experience has not been as drastic as my uncles and aunts and father, where they would experience the racism and the just feeling less than. And so I didn't really connect the dots until I had the fascination, but I remember in kindergarten getting sent out of the room for someone very shy. That was a traumatic experience because where they were saying that there was a victory when soldiers wiped out an Indian village which I know that was a massacre, and that was only women and children. And the history books are wrong, and so I was reprimanded, so I remember that.
You always had jobs as a kid.
Yes.
And you've come to realize that's a huge gift you were blessed with.
Mm-hmm.
So many parents today find tough love so hard. They want to give the kid everything that they didn't have. Talk to us about the value of hard work for young people.
It's crucial. And I think the challenge that a lot of parents have is that they come from nowadays two family incomes. Or if it's a single parent, they're working such long hours that there is a compensation factor that I didn't grow up with. But without having that experience at a young age, it's extremely difficult for children to get the responsibility and the accountability that comes with having jobs at a young age. However, I had paper routes that went 4 and 5 and 6 miles. If I were to let my sons do that at 10 years old, I might have been accused of not being very responsible. So it's a challenge to find those jobs. I try to give them experiences volunteering, but I could have been better at creating jobs for them myself.
Andra, were these paper routes 5 miles all uphill in the snow?
No, I had a downhill experience as well.
You got a BS in nursing from the University of Michigan. Why did you decide to become a nurse?
It's interesting. I knew I wanted to be a benefactor. I knew that at a very young age, and I had dreamed about taking my grandparents to, especially my Native American grandmother, to Jerusalem. That was one of her dreams, and my other grandmother to Tahiti. That was one of her dreams, and I knew getting a job wouldn't exactly give me the funds that I wanted to by the time we could travel. So as I was exploring what kind of career I could get into, I was told that I could go to college, which I didn't realize I could, because that was for rich people. And I went on the Native American tuition grant, which was very fortunate for myself. And my parents said I could be a nurse or a teacher. So I like to travel, and I figured I could get a nursing job anywhere in the world. So, and I like people, and I like to help. So that's why I went into the medical profession.
We're talking to Andra Rush, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Andra Rush. Andra, talk to us, if you will, about the jobs that nurses are doing in America today.
I'm not as close as I used to be. I used to, when I started the trucking business, I used to moonlight on the weekends and actually work 36 hours on the weekends so I could retain my full-time status. But I think nurses do an incredible job, and it's nice to see their pay scale and recognition get a little bit more commensurate than it was when I came into the profession. But nurses have a tremendous amount of responsibility because they have a more patient per nurse factor and a lot more critically ill patients than I would have experienced. But I think it's a great career opportunity for many young people to explore, because there's so many facets in nursing, from medical, surgical, to a PE, physician's assistant, and our community health. It's quite a diverse career.
Andra Rush, you just snuck something in there. You said you work 36 hours on the weekends. If you worked Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's 12 hours each Friday, Saturday, Sunday, plus right, starting the business. Which brings us to the next question. How did you go from being a nurse to beginning a trucking business?
I tell most people because I couldn't sing or dance. But seriously, I I recognize that being in the level of the hospital administration at the nursing level, I didn't have a lot of influence and scope. So I went back to get my MBA at Michigan. I did not complete it, although some articles like to give me that recognition, but I did not complete it. And during the time I was pursuing my MBA, I set up an internship for myself at an air freight company. And I learned that the critical factor for profitability was how fast they got the air freight to the airport. The quicker and more reliable you were, the more profit the company made. So it was one of those, well, I can do that. And probably a blessing not knowing what I didn't know and not knowing, you know, how much cash flow and capital I would need and the infrastructure you would have to really build to have this great, big, huge enterprise. But fortunately, I guess I had the courage to go out and call on customers and start with the three trucks.
To the best of my knowledge, there's never been a TV show about a Native American woman starting a trucking business. I don't think there's ever been a book written about that. Where did you ever get the courage, the moxie, to start a business?
I think from my father. We used to paint cars on the side on the weekends when I was growing up. So I learned how to paint cars at a young age, and he definitely didn't want me to do that. But I liked the fact that you could create something out of nothing. And when you paint cars, it's just awesome because you're starting with a kind of a relic, so to speak. He used to call them classics. And then when you got done with all your efforts, it was just gorgeous and people would just admire it. So I thought that if I started my own business at 24, by the time I was 27, I could retire and then go back to work when I was 50. But I think the challenge for people saying a woman can't run a business or especially be in the trucking business was my stimulator to show that we could.
You've now built Rush Trucking into the largest Native American-owned minority business enterprise in America.
I would just say that in transportation, I wouldn't, because there are several
in the
energy
casinos,
companies.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. What does Rush Trucking do?
We deliver automotive parts primarily to Ford, GM, Chrysler, Toyota, Honda, and the tier ones like American Axle, Magna, and we have just in time, and we also have, which would be called expedites, but we also have contract routes. So we will bring in, for instance, engines, cockpits, steering wheels, doors.
What did nursing teach you about running a trucking business?
Well, it in nursing, you do problem solving when you assess a patient and their illness. And I used to say in the medical profession, we always are trying to help people get better and prevent serious illnesses or heart attacks. And in the critical automotive supply business, if you're not performing, they can generate or create heart attacks. So I think that having that experience at 17, because I did work as a nurse assistant while going through school, that you see the life and death impacts. And I guess I would say I was blessed. Looking at your background, you get to meet so many people. I'm just humbled to be here. And I got to meet, as a young person at 17, very successful, I guess, if you measure success on your career, professionals that all of a sudden got ill. And they could be the CEO or they could be an entertainer, but when I was meeting them, they were in a standard gown like everyone else. And so I was fortunate to ask them how they liked their life, what was exciting about it, what if they had do-overs, what would they do differently. And so by that experience, it influenced me to travel to Europe by myself for 6 months when I graduated.
Talk to us, if you will, Andrew Rush, about your company's culture.
We have a great culture. You know, in some aspects, you miss the small family atmosphere when you grow the business, and yet as you grow it, you realize you have a tremendous impact on people's lives. And so we try to give the customer and treat each other as customers, but give our customers a little bit more than what they expect. And we try to make commitments to each other to do what we say and say what we do. And some of the most rewarding things that happen for me is these wonderful men and women that are out there on the roads through every type of weather are out there also being road warriors and helping stranded families or helping people that may have gotten into an accident. And I receive a lot of letters on the heroics of our drivers. So that's pleasing.
When you started, you wanted it to be a family business.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge as you grow to keep that small family concept. How have you tried to keep family?
It's not just me. It's you know, I see people work with us, and they work with me, and I work with them. It's a team atmosphere, and so it's difficult for me because I don't have the closeness with our drivers like I did in the beginning, but I see that with our dispatchers or our operations team members or all our support corporate staff that work to try to make sure that truck driver is recognized for who they are as a person and continue to tell them that their work is meaningful and show appreciation. But it is a challenge for sure.
We're talking to Andra Rush, and when we come back, we'll ask her about the life of a truck driver today. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Now, here's your host, Jack Rasula.
Welcome back. We're with Andra Rush. In 1984, she started a truck company with $10,000 from her credit card, a $5,000 loan from her parents, and three trucks. She probably made more money that first year than she made in 08 and 09, if the truth be known. Andra, tell us, if you will, about the life of a truck driver.
I wish I had some of my long-term drivers with me, because they would be the better respondent here. But I can tell you that their life is really committed to their work, and part of their life happens after work, because they have to really ensure that they're getting the rest that's required. We're at satellite tracking with the inventory so low, we don't have room for delay. So if there is a traffic delay or a breakdown of equipment, you have to have these countermeasures and contingency plans and encourage communication. So the challenge is that there's many truck drivers today that you know, that wasn't their first choice of a career, or they're foreign. So to make sure you have that communication and that understanding of how that driver is working through some of their challenges, as you know, think about you're hurrying as legally and obeying the laws, and you get to the customer and, oh, we forgot to tell you that we didn't have freight today, and they might have drove 400 miles. And so to have that empathy and understanding and try to make sure you have some compensation, but it's not equal to really what they were expecting. So I would say the life of the truck driver for the life of almost everyone in America has changed so much over the last couple of years. For the first time, the last 2 years, we've had more supply or more abundance of truck drivers. I think that's quickly going to change as soon as the economy ticks up a little and the new CSA regulations come into effect. So it's hard work.
You've been quoted as follows. Because we are very focused on people, we emphasize that our drivers, owner-operators, are a key part of the team, not just Social Security numbers in a payroll computer. We see our drivers as our greatest salesmen and our true ambassadors of goodwill. Mm-hmm. Drivers as salesmen. Explain.
Well, for many of my customers are out of state, or I might have the supplier within Michigan, and the destination point is in Kansas City, and so the only touch point that our customers are having is with those drivers, in terms of how they greet their team members on the dock floor, or how they communicate when maybe a load has to be accelerated or diverted to an airport, and the way in which the drivers respond and cooperate. It's very rare you find a driver that does something intentionally to not do a great job. They're always trying to figure out ways they can meet the request, even if it's on the edge of, wow, I might be out of hours. So we always stress safety first, but the drivers are out there calling our office and our salespeople saying, hey, there might be an opportunity here. They're not, you know, their services fell down in this particular area. I told the customer that we could do that. And so they call in with some opportunities for our team members as well.
For 30 years or so, Robert Schuller was the Joel Osteen of today. Crystal Cathedral, right. Hour of Power. And he had this possibility thinker's creed. When faced with a mountain, I will not quit. I'll climb over the mountain. I'll go around the mountain. I'll go through the mountain. I'll go underneath the mountain. I'll get to the other side. That's been your life in this business. Talk about what that means to you.
What that really means to me is you never give up, and you figure out there is always a way. And I'm blessed with having good faith, good Christian faith. So I learned definitely when they say pray continuously, I learned what that meant in the 08-09 time frame. But it's easy to see the obstacles. And sometimes I think everyone has doubt, but when you step back, you figure out, you know, how can I make it happen? How can we come up with a solution or a win-win? And I've been very fortunate to have great customers and great team members and great employees that work with me. And you know, through some of the crisis, there were touch and go points where we didn't know if we were going to be around. And for the grace of great service from our drivers and our operations and the customers understanding that, geez, over 25 years, this has been a very reliable and dependable and creative transportation company. You know, we have to make sure we help them as we are going through our own challenges. And it would be quite easy to look at transportation and say, well, that was good, but we can get someone else, you know. And the great customers did not do that.
One of the greatest crises you had was December 23rd, 2008. You had 1,500-plus employees, mm-hmm. and you let almost 1,300 of them go that day.
We had a tremendous amount of layoffs, and in that number, it includes, I have another business, Dakota Integrated Systems, but that, again, is related to the auto industry, and being diverse in the auto industry was fantastic for 20 out of 25 years, but fortunately, I've added Walmart and Home Depot, Johnson & Johnson, and working on government, but in that particular scenario, if you recall, we had Chrysler and General Motors asking the government for a loan to make sure they could get through the Christmas holiday or get to 2009. We had such an abundance of cars and trucks, the vehicle supply, that there was no demand. So production was virtually halted. And we were faced with having to ensure that we could stay in compliance with our agreements with our financial institutions. And that bridge was a very traumatic bridge to navigate through, but we were successful in doing it. However, it was very painful because, you know, Christmas is usually a time where our drivers are able and our employees are able to spend time with their family, and they were being sent to the unemployment line. And that was a very, very low point for me.
That poem, One Set of Footsteps, that talk about that being your life then, how did your faith help you get through that low point?
Well, I think I was so convinced that that we would figure out a way, and I was able to talk to a lot of customers and a lot of associates and figure out what could we do, what could we create, is there an opportunity? And if there was, you know, portions of the day where they said, you're all done, and I would just I could feel a lot of emotions, to be sure, and I'd have to maybe say a prayer and go back and call people and say, well, have you considered this, or have you considered this opportunity or alternative? And my customers made themselves available during that holiday time to try to figure out how they could assist us through it, not how they couldn't. So that was really fantastic, especially Ford and Toyota.
We're talking to Andra Rush. When we come back, we'll ask her why it is that more and more very successful firms are now run by female CEOs/presidents. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Andra Rush, who runs Rush Trucking. Andra, why are so many firms being very successful who are run by female CEOs/presidents?
Great question. First thing that comes to mind is that women have traditionally multitasked. Not saying gentlemen and guys do not multitask, but I think women having to try to balance managing a family and making sure that the home environment is pleasing, and then participating in the work life. As the ceilings were broken and the opportunities were provided, I think the ability to bring empathy into the equation and to listen and to be creative and also delegate, I think that allows a lot of success. And I guess I wouldn't just label it to women. I think it's just what you're seeing is women having opportunity where they didn't in the past.
Speaking of multitasking, you've raised three sons, Chain, Chance, and Zach.
Right.
And you've built this huge business. How did you do both?
Well, I was blessed. I was married, and sometimes businesses can put a lot of strain on a family. And we sure had our intense ups and downs, but I was very blessed with having a support system with my mother and father and sisters and friends and some of my husband's family to help with the children. So my mom was a nurse as well. I asked her to retire to help us with our kids. And my dad worked at General Motors painting cars. So between the two of them, they would meet me halfway from the office or meet me at a restaurant or keep the kids for the night to help us through. But it's no small task. They I've been very blessed with really good, strong young men, and blessed with having a business so that I could maybe work at midnight to 6 in the morning, so I was able to go to school with them on their important days, or their show and share, as they would say. And you know, it's still a work in progress. I always see what I could do better, not all the things that I might have done well. But
it's a journey. For the last 30 years, this economic engine has been fueled by small private business. A lot of people today have just started a business or are thinking about starting a business. What advice, Andrew Rush, would you give those people?
I would say make sure that you have a solid dream and you believe in what you're doing, because it's going to take a lot more of yourself and your team members around you. I would definitely have a great accountant and CPA that could articulate your plans and your visions over the next 2, 3, 5 years in that plan to the financial community, to make sure you have access to capital. One of the challenges for all our businesses today is access to capital and access to great people. And there's a lot of great talent that, you know, you might have to say, I can't afford to pay you what you were used to making, but with your talent, I'll offer part of the company. But I think if you're passionate about what you're doing in your business, you have a good chance of success.
Yours is a Horatio Elgel story. It's an American, you know, anything is possible. Is the American dream still alive today?
The American dream is always alive. I have great faith in Americans, because we always figure out how we can overcome. I think that the challenge is always, especially when you're in the Michigan climate, is you're seeing so much unemployment and so much lack of hope or lack of opportunity that you question, is it alive? As long as our government and our people recognize manufacturing is important in this country, as well as service jobs, but also to look at what's the innovative and what's the next horizon. And you're seeing that in alternative fuels, and you're also seeing in the film industry coming here. So there's opportunities, even though sometimes it looks bleak.
If they ever make a movie about you, who should play Andrew Rush?
Me.
Okay. Another quote that you're famous for is, your health is wealth. Please.
Yes. A very dear friend of mine who passed away a couple years ago, Joe Lewo, he would say, you spend all your health getting wealth, and then you spend all your wealth getting health. And I think I was blessed to recognize that just having the medical experience at such a young age. So I would have patients that were fine 24 hours ago, and they now were patients that couldn't, their arms and legs would not move. They had a virus. They lost their hearing, their sight. So I was able to be thankful for what I have. And so health is wealth.
Another quote, living the dream.
Yeah, I say living the American dream, living the American Indian dream. Sometimes you say it tongue-in-cheek, but I really believe that one of the things that our youth forget is to dream. Many people forget to dream. But if you do have the dreams and you write them down, then they can become reality. They can become a goal in reality. So, and America's still the greatest country, I think, in the world to try to execute your dream.
Fear is paralyzing. A lot of people are afraid today. What do you say to someone who says, Andra, I'm just afraid?
I'll say I was afraid too, and I get fear a lot, and I pray, and I just push myself through it. And it's not comfortable, and yet I know that I'm going to grow. I might not get the plan I was fearing, but I've also found that what I always feared was the worst didn't happen. And I always feel that there's lessons to be learned. But if I had the magic cure, I think I'd be talking on a talk show about my book on how to overcome fear. But I think you just have to have little confidences and build yourself up.
They say that 88% of what we worry about never happens to us.
Hmm.
And fear, F-E-A-R, false expectations appearing real. That's Ziegler. So,
yeah.
Last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
I would say that you are in a position where you have access to so much information with the internet, and you have, as they say, flattened out the world. Reflect. Do what you love to do. Figure out what you love to do. I think that's hard. I've met a lot of young people, and they don't know what they know what they don't like, but they really haven't figured out what they are passionate about. So I would say do volunteer work, do Outward Bound, do things you haven't done, and shut that TV off. Turn the radio on.
Andra Rush, you've changed the lives of thousands of people for the better. Not just the employees, but the people that worked at the OEMs, the people that you've inspired. Thanks a million, and please keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you, Jack. I appreciate it.
Our guest next Sunday will be a phenomenal 24-year-old man, Dan Burfein. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahn.